I'm Teresa Wersbianska with the KPFA News Headlines. A mix of law enforcement, street performers, and football fans is filling New Orleans's blocks as the city inches back to normalcy. A deadly New Year's truck attack along Bourbon Street killed 14 people along with the driver. Shamsu Din Jabbar was fatally shot in a firefight with police after steering his speeding truck around a barricade and plowing into a crowd of revelers. About 30 people were injured. The FBI says Jabbar was inspired by the Islamic State militant group. Authorities finished processing the scene Thursday morning, and Bourbon Street reopened for business by early afternoon. Authorities say the highly decorated soldier inside a Tesla Cybertruck packed with fireworks that exploded outside Trump International Hotel in Las Vegas shot himself in the head just before detonation. The explosion caused minor injuries to seven people, but virtually no damage to the hotel. Clark County Sheriff Kevin McMahill said 37-year-old Matthew Livelsberger likely planned a more damaging attack, but the steel-sided vehicle absorbed much of the force from the crudely built explosive. Livelsberger was an active duty member of the elite Green Berets. The Pentagon said he had served in the Army since 2006, rising through the ranks, and was on approved leave when he died. FBI Special Agent Spencer Evans says they are still searching for a motive.
We know we have a bombing, absolutely, and it's a bombing that certainly has factors that raise concern. It's not lost on us that it's in front of, you know, of the Trump building, that it's a Tesla vehicle, but we don't have information at this point that definitively tells us or suggests it was because of this particular ideology or the, you know, any of the reasoning behind it.
The FBI says it hasn't found any association between the Cybertruck explosion and the attack in New Orleans earlier on New Year's Day. Hospital staff say at least 30 people, including children, were killed in Gaza by Israeli strikes overnight and Friday morning as air sirens sounded across Israel and stalled ceasefire talks were set to resume. Charles Della Desma has more.
Staff at the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital say more than a dozen women and children were killed in strikes that hit various places in central Gaza, including Nusayrat, Zawada, Maghazi and Deir el-Balah. At Deir el-Balah, people carry wrapped dead bodies, placing them outside the hospital's emergency department, while others pray for the victims. There's been no immediate comment from the Israeli military on the strikes. Israelis also woke up to attacks early Friday morning, officials saying missiles were fired into the country from Yemen, which set off air raid sirens in Jerusalem and central Israel and sent people scrambling to shelters. I'm Charles Deledesma.
Today marks the start of the 119th Congress, with Republican majorities in both the U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate. As President-elect Donald Trump is set to return to the White House later this month, the American government will see a Republican-controlled trifecta. The United States has not experienced unified Republican control of the executive and legislative branches since 2017 during Trump's previous term in office. As the new Congress convenes, there is one major task at hand, and that is the election of the House Speaker. Current House Speaker Mike Johnson's weak grip on the gavel threatens not only his own survival, but President-elect Donald Trump's ambitious agenda. Tax cuts and mass deportations are all at stake as Republicans sweep to power in Washington. With opposition from his own GOP colleagues, Johnson was holed up in the Capitol on the eve of the vote, working to sway the hardline holdouts. A flop by Johnson could throw Monday's congressional certification of Trump's 2024 election victory into turmoil without a House Speaker. Even backing from Trump himself is no guarantee that Johnson will stay in power. Despite some pushback by utilities companies on the financial benefits of rooftop solar panels for consumers, pro-solar groups say rooftop solar panels continue to be a valuable renewable energy source. Eileen Alfandari reports.
Solar industry and consumer groups say they will focus their efforts this year on making the case that, contrary to the argument of the state's electric utilities and the Public Utilities Commission, rooftop solar systems are saving other California ratepayers billions of dollars.
Yeah, that's the utility's argument, is essentially rooftop solar customers are to blame for California's high rates. We don't pay our fair share, and as a result, we leave everybody else to pick up the tab. That's the utility's argument. It's not true. A new study that very specifically looked at this claim found that claim is just riddled with very simple to point out math errors and omissions. And in fact, when you correct all of the mistakes in the claim, it turns out that rooftop solar saved all ratepayers $2.3 billion in 2024 alone.
Dave Rosenfeld is the director of the Solar Rights Alliance, a nonprofit association of California solar users. His group pushes back against PG&E and other private investor-owned utilities and nonprofits like the Natural Resources Defense Council and the utility reform group TURN. They blame solar rooftop systems for skyrocketing utility bills. The Public Utilities Commission and its ratepayer advocate office agree. Last spring, the head of the public advocate's office, Linda Sarizawa, testified to a legislative committee that rooftop solar customers were costing other ratepayers billions of dollars. Climate campaigners are hoping California can once again lead the way toward the renewable energy future that will be necessary to avoid climate catastrophe. I'm Eileen Alfandary for KPFA News, Pacifica Radio.
A beach hazard statement is in effect in San Francisco, the coastal North Bay, including Point Reyes National Seashore, San Francisco Peninsula Coast, Southern Monterey Bay, and Big Sur Coast through Friday evening. Beachgoers are warned of dangerous swimming and surfing conditions and localized beach erosion. And that's from 9 p.m. today to 3 a.m. on Sunday. There's also a high surf advisory for the affected areas. And in San Francisco Bay Area today, there's rain in the morning, then rain likely in the afternoon. In the Central Valley, rain likely after 4 p.m. with highs near 64. I'm Teresa Wersbianska with the KPFA headlines.